What a cool video. We've been showing that throughout the series. Hope you've enjoyed that. But hey, happy Labor Day to you guys. We're almost there, right? Happy Labor Day weekend. Glad you guys are here. If this is your first time, if you just kind of walked in, we're so glad you're here today. You may remember that old Boys to Men song. You know, you remember, how many of you remember Boys to Men? Some of the people are a little bit younger than us. They don't know, right? But as Boys to Men sang, "So we've come to the end of the road." Right? We're finishing our series today. The end of the road, called "When I Grow Up: Building a Family Legacy." And we've been talking about how do we build the right kind of legacy in our own lives, and how do we pass it down, a God-shaped legacy, to our family and to people around us. Because God is not just concerned about the life that you live, but also the life that you leave behind, right? And here's the thing, but when you hear the word legacy, no matter where you are in your stage of life, there are some of us that may be tempted to say, "Oh, this doesn't have to do with me." I mean, maybe you're kind of like, my kids are already grown, all this stuff, and what does this have to do with me? On the other hand, you may be a kid or a student, and you may be saying, "Well, a legacy, like that's for people that are way ahead of me, like I'm not even there yet." Everybody right now, no matter where you are living a story. You're living a story right now, and all of us, no matter what age you are or stage you're at, all of us are building some kind of legacy right now, and whether we realize it or not. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about how do we build a God-shaped legacy, and how do we leave behind the good things, right? We want to leave behind some good things, some eternal things that can last forever, right? And we've been talking about how God wants to build certain things into our life. He wants us to pass down, first of all, a legacy of faith, to teach our families what it means to follow God. That's the number one thing. We talked about how we can love another legacy is to just a legacy of loving our family well. How cool would that be if your kids and grandkids say, "You know what's awesome about my family? We love each other so well." What a legacy. Then we talked about how we can leave a legacy of helping our families to find purpose. You remember, pour out your cup, right? Pouring out your cup for God and others. How you can serve others and be generous in your life. And then last week we talked again in more detail about how we pass on a legacy of faith by modeling some spiritual habits. These are all good things. Today we're going to turn the page a little bit, though, because how many of you know that what you inherited or what was passed down to you wasn't always good? You don't have to raise your hand, right? Here's the thing. Sometimes not everything that we are passed down, not everything is a good habit. Not everything is healthy. Not everything is godly. In fact, some of us, the legacy and what was modeled for us is, it's interesting, what tends to happen is what was modeled for us is what we tend to take on in our lives. And so maybe, you know, you kind of come from a family who gets angered easily, and all of a sudden you start to realize, "Whoa, I'm starting to do similar things." Or let's say college football games, you know. Or let's say that there's sometimes it's bigger stuff, like some addictions in our lives and or in our past. And the addictions of people in the past, all of a sudden you tend to see that there is a track record that you are maybe more susceptible to taking on those things as well. There's unhealthy relationship patterns. There's all sorts of things, being overly anxious. And these are passed down oftentimes to us because they're modeled to us. And so you and I are a mixed bag of really some really good cycles, you could say, some family cycles, but also some bad habits and some bad cycles that were passed down to us and modeled to us, all of us. And you know what a cycle is. A cycle is real simple. A cycle is just an event that keeps repeating itself. It's interesting because we typically think in our lives about today and what's next, but we don't oftentimes realize that there are cycles that you can probably trace back in your family, some really good cycles that keep repeating themselves, but also there's probably some maybe not so good cycles. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, because there are some generational cycles that if something doesn't break, you know, if something doesn't change, if you don't break through it, or if someone else doesn't intervene for you, that the cycle is going to repeat itself. You know, it's interesting because so many people here at the Fountain, maybe I've heard story after story of, you know what, I didn't really have a generational legacy of kind of faith passed down to me. Faith was kind of not a big deal in my family. Praise God, you're here and you're digging into Jesus. And some of you are the very first generation of people who are striving to follow Jesus, and you're working so hard, maybe it seems uphill to catch up. There's no catching up. There's no workspace salvation, right? But some of you are leaving a new kind of legacy. Praise God, right? But today what I want to do is I want to preach to you really a message of hope, a message of healing, a message really about the power of Jesus that's at work in your life. You know, I've never heard a message about this, but today we're going to be talking about how do we break bad generational cycles. Never heard that message before, but here we go, right? And what we're going to be talking about is how can we live a different story? How can we pass down a different kind of legacy? And the good news for you and for me is it's not about you and it's not just about me either. The truth is, the gospel story is that Jesus is a cycle breaker, right? Jesus breaks the cycle over and over and over again in Scripture, and he can do it in your life. And so when we can't overcome something in our lives, the message is this: Jesus can. Can we say that together? 1, 2, 3. Jesus can. Maybe a little corny, but man, there's so much truth to that. Jesus can. You know, in the Old Testament, there's this great story, or maybe a tough story, it really highlights this reality of inheriting bad cycles from our families. And it's found in Lamentations chapter 5, of all places. Maybe you never even knew Lamentations is in the Bible, but it's going to be on the screen, so you don't have to find it. But let me give you a little bit of background before we read it. Lamentations was written shortly after the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. And really, the whole city of Jerusalem was destroyed. It happened in 576 B.C., so it's written shortly after that. And basically, the people of God had been living in the promised land for so long. God brought them there. And although God had been so faithful to his people, the people of God kind of bailed on God. And they just started kind of living life on their own terms. They started turning away from God and turning to other things. And they basically said to God, you know, God, we've got what we want now. We don't need you anymore, and we don't want you anymore. I think sometimes patterns repeat itself generationally, right? And it's one of those things where as they do this, God basically said, okay. And God essentially removed his protection off of his people, and the Babylonians, the enemies of God, overtook the promised land that God said, this is yours. They overtook the promised land, their enemies. And they basically took the people of God outside of the land that God gave them, and they essentially oppressed the people. And so the Lamentations is basically a series of laments where the new generation, although they didn't cause it, is looking back and they're pleading to God and saying, God, look, we're here not because of what we did, but we're praying and we're seeking you again and we're asking for forgiveness. We're asking you to restore us once again. And here's what it says, Lamentations chapter 5. It says this, verse 1. It says, Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace, the new generation is saying. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become fatherless. Our mothers are widows. We must buy the water we drink. That doesn't sound bad to us because we're like, we buy water, but they could just go to a spring and get it, but now they're having to buy it. It says, wood can be only at a price. Our wood can only be at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels. We are weary and find no rest. Verse six. Skipping on, it says we submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. And now here's the key verse, verse 7. It says this: Our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Like, amen, you came to church to hear that. Praise the Lord, right? That's not what you came to hear. But it's this crazy story that shows the power of generations. And essentially, it's tough. They're saying, look, our ancestors aren't even here anymore. Like, some of our parents aren't even around. And here we are bearing the punishment of what they did. And here we are in a place that we never wanted to be. Lord, help us. And some of you know, understand this because it's been part of your story. You understand the power of that. And the hard truth is that there's the choices that we make now, the choices we make now in big ways and in small ways are creating a cycle for our kids and our grandkids. And it's either going to be one that they can build on, or it's going to be a cycle that they're going to have to overcome. And so here's the question I want us to think about today. Are you giving your family, are you giving your family something they can build on or something that they will have to overcome? Are you giving your family something they can build on or something they will have to overcome? This is about legacy. You know, King David, remember King David in the Bible, the one who slayed David and Goliath, David. You know, David kind of had a similar story. David struggled with lust pretty much his whole life. He, as early as Goliath, when he first comes on the scene, he asks three times, hey, so if I go defeat Goliath, what do I get? And three times he's told, women and money. You're going to get women and money. He's like, all right, let's do it, you know? And so he goes and he fights Goliath. And it's one of those things where you fast forward, of course we know he wins, fast forward a few years and David finds himself in an inappropriate relationship with someone else's wife, right? Bathsheba. And some people say, hey, he raped her or whatever. But the thing is, David ends up having her husband killed in order to cover it up. Like, that's interesting. And then we flash forward to his family. David ended up having seven wives. Flash forward to his kids. David's first son ended up raping his daughter. Excuse me for that's no other way to say that. And then his own son, Absalom, ended up killing his own brother for doing that. Generations, how it repeats itself. And then David's other son, Solomon. Solomon had this incredible legacy. He was the next king in Israel. And everything was looking so good with King Solomon. He was one of the best leaders Israel's ever known. But in his life, here's the crazy thing. Solomon ends up with 700 wives. Oh my goodness. Can we pray for that guy? You know, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, you know. And he ended up being extremely wealthy, but being wild in the way he spent his money. And it just you just kind of see as it led to his downfall that cycles are not just repeated, they're often multiplied. You know, so here's the thing. Why do bad cycles or habits or struggles get passed down from one generation to the next? Why do they get passed down? I think it's because values are not just taught, but they're caught, right? People model for you, and people modeled for you certain habits and certain good habits and poor habits, and they modeled unintentionally, and you do the same thing for your family. And so, you know, unintentionally, we people modeled for you how to eat and how to work, how to rest, or whether you do that, right? Or you know, different things of like, how do you do marriage and how do you do parenting? It's been modeled for you. How do you view God has been modeled for you. How do you view yourself and how do you view others? It's been modeled for you. And here's the thing, I think the best way to describe this is when you inherit a bad cycle, it's kind of like being chained to something in your life, this heavy weight in your life. I want you to think about the different cycles that maybe have gone on in your family and in your life. Here's how it works. There's things in our lives that we're born into that have been modeled for us that we don't realize they're just habits, they're patterns, but there are these heavy weights that oftentimes we have to overcome in our lives. And there's different things, right? There's things that maybe we've been chained to bad relationship models, you know? Like maybe like we've seen relationships, not just married relationships, but how you interact with your coworkers. You've seen that modeled for you, and maybe it's been an unhealthy thing. And so then you try to do relationships in your own life, whether it's a married relationship or relationship with your kids or maybe with your boss. And what happens is you start trying to walk in the opposite direction, and this same thing that you're chained to starts to hold you back. And it's one of those things where what happens is you start to get pulled back to the same struggles, right? It's the same thing when it comes to attitude cycles. Attitude cycles. You know, for instance, some of us have maybe grown up with family cycles of just bitterness, being bitter about life and God and people. And so we try to move forward, and all of a sudden we find ourselves getting bitter about the same things. Or maybe it's emotional things, you know, just stuff that we've dealt with, like anxiety and depression. And man, some of those things are outside of what we sometimes feel like we can control without God's power. And so what we end up seeing is we see it modeled, and all of a sudden we try to walk in a different direction, and we find ourselves in the same place, chained to this heavy weight of something that's been passed down but modeled for us. Sometimes for us, it's financial cycles that we've seen in our own families, that we've seen maybe around us. And so what happens is we try to do things differently financially because maybe it's been a lot of debt, or maybe it's been, you know, overspending, or maybe we never ever seen and known what it means to be generous to God or to people. And so all of a sudden we come to church and we get invited to follow Jesus, and all of a sudden we're like, I want to live a different story, right? But we start walking in a certain direction and we find that, oh my goodness, I take two steps forward, yes, through the power of God, but a lot of times I end up taking one step back. Two steps forward, one step back. And so there's also behavioral cycles, like, you know, anger, you know? Like maybe it's like a pattern of anger, or maybe harsh sarcasm, you know? That maybe is not a big deal, but it tends to burn other people. Or maybe just being kind of cynical or critical, and we try to walk in a different direction. Maybe it's even being a workaholic. That's all we've seen. As you are what you do, and we think our identity is trapped in this. And so we start running and running, and all of a sudden we're pulled back by this heavy weight and the chains that are attached to us. And so when we start walking forward into a new direction, these cycles tend to be something that just keep tugging us back. And it's like we're chained to a weight that we can't break through by ourselves. Here we are. And it gets frustrating. Because what we tend to do is when we see ourselves chained to this heavy weight and these cycles of our past and even in our own lives, we start to say, well, maybe this is just my identity. You know, maybe this heavy weight, like this is just who I am, you know? Here I am. This is me. And we start to say stuff like, well, I guess this is just who I'm always going to be. Nothing's ever going to change in me, so I might as well just get used to it. Or maybe there's a lot of different things where you may not realize it, though, but the struggle that you are dealing with right now isn't just about you. It's also about future generations. And I believe through the power of Christ that God wants to help you to overcome it. And I really believe that if you get serious about your hang-ups and sin patterns and the things that were modeled for you, and maybe in a bad way, that you'll not only change your life, but you'll also change the lives of your kids and grandkids for generations to come. And so let's talk about how to do that. How do we break those bad cycles? How do we break those bad cycles? And, you know, here's the first thing. I'm going to give you three things I think are going to be helpful. But here's the first way, first thing that I want you to do to think about breaking generational cycles. Number one is this. You got to name it and own it. You got to name it and own it. That might not sound like a big deal, but man, there's so many times that we deny the very things that we're chained to. Oh, that's not my thing. Like, you know, that's something that other people dealt with, but I don't struggle with that as we're, you know, chained in our own life to the very thing that's holding us back. We've got, you know, when you name something, what it means is you start to recognize it. You start to realize, you know what? This stinks. I don't like being chained to this. And this is what I'm chained to. And when you name it, it means you start to recognize the very thing that you're chained to, and all of a sudden you start to realize and get serious about the reality that I want to break through it. You know, if you don't name it, if you don't recognize it, if you don't own it, then you can't do anything about it. You know, here's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says. It says this. He says, if we confess our sins, he, that's God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, if we confess. There's something about name it. There's something about confessing it. I think one of the things is when we name it, when we confess it, we recognize it, that's the pathway toward freedom. But I think sometimes we don't want to name it, especially to ourselves, definitely not to others, but I think a lot of times we don't want to name it to God. God knows us inside and out. He knows everything about our lives, and yet he loves us so deeply that he was willing to go to the cross for you. But oftentimes we think we got to hide from God, and we're like, well, God, you know, I've got everything in my life all good, you know? Like, I don't have any chains, God. You know, here I am to worship, you know? But the truth is, we don't get serious, and we don't sometimes bring our chains or our weight to God because we sometimes think we're going to get judged. We think that, like, if we start talking about, like, what's holding us back in our life, that God won't like us anymore, or God will kind of reject us. But when you read the scripture and you see the character of Jesus, I mean, I love how Jesus comes to people who are so far off, who had messed up so many times. Jesus comes to people and he loves them unconditionally, and we love that part. But then Jesus calls people to walk forward into newness of life. Don't stay stuck with these things that have chained you down. But let me help you to walk forward and experience newness of life. This is the grace of God. And it's one of those things, sometimes the other thing we got to do is not just name it, but we got to own it. We got to own it. And it doesn't mean, I don't mean let it become who you are, right? But what I mean is that sometimes we just sit around, and because it happened in our past, it's easier to point and to blame and say, you caused it and you modeled this for me, instead of taking responsibility for our lives and realizing that, look, this is now a chain and a weight in my life, and it's my responsibility to break the cycle. So we got to name it and own it. So here's it's not who you are, but it's your role to break it with God's help. Here's the second step to breaking a bad generational cycle, and this is most important. Number two, connect your willpower to the power of Jesus. Connect your willpower, you fighting through it, to the power of Jesus. See, it doesn't just say, oh, just let Jesus do it all for you. No, there is responsibility for us to walk forward. But sometimes what happens is we think we can just put on our gym clothes, you know, get in the mirror and flex and tell our struggle, like, I got this, you know, you got nothing. And we start running forward in a new direction, and all of a sudden, oh, wait, we're back to the same place we were in the first place. Some of y'all are about to start praying for me, I know. It's one of those things, though, where you know, and the power of positive thinking and all sorts of things, that's great, but it'll only take you so far, right? Because in you and in you alone, you don't have the power to break some of the cycles and some of the patterns in your life. You can't do it on your own. You need a power. You need a God who is bigger than you and stronger than what you face and what's chained to you. And so it's one of those things where I was at the beach this past summer, and there was this really strong dude, like this really strong dude. You know, he had all the muscles and all that, and he, you know, he didn't have a Speedo on, but I kind of, you know, was kind of picturing a guy like that, but I don't know why. Let's move on. But anyway, he's running. Just trying to get y'all laughing. It's Labor Day. We can have fun in church, right? But anyway, he starts swimming out into the ocean, right? He's swimming and he's swimming and he's swimming. And I was like, man, this guy's like, he's going way out there. He's doing a good job swimming. And all of a sudden, the lifeguards start blowing their whistle. These little teenage, you know, kids, that, you know, and they start running together and the sirens start going off and they start swimming toward him. And I look out there and this guy is like starting to paddle and paddle, but all he's doing is trying to paddle to keep his head up. And what had happened was, although he was a strong swimmer, that there was this heavy current, this undertow that was starting to pull him out. And no matter how hard he swam, he kept going further and further away from where he wanted to be. And what he needed is someone who was stronger than him, a stronger swimmer than him. He needed someone who could come alongside of him and pull him out of that which he was chained to. And so it is with your life. And with mine. I mean, here's what the Apostle Paul, he was wrestling with a force or a strong pull, a current, if you will, of his own sin patterns. He's looking at this, and here's what he says about it in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. He says, check this out. I do not understand what I do, he said. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Think about eating chocolate cake. Like, I don't want to eat it. But I do, but I don't. You know, this is what he's saying. Verse 17, here's what he says next. 17, he says, as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that God, that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Anybody else have that experience before, right? Maybe about chocolate cake, but I imagine that there's some things in your life that it's kind of the same thing, you know? And so it's one of those things where Paul is saying, look, this is a pattern in my life. It's a pattern in my past and in my story that's stronger than my strongest ability to pull myself out of it. I'm chained to it. But here's the hope. Here's the hope for you and for me today, is that Jesus is greater and Jesus is stronger, right? Jesus is greater and Jesus is stronger. It doesn't matter the mountain of things that you might be chained to in your life. You know, it doesn't matter all the things that have held you back your whole life. Jesus is greater and Jesus is stronger. And so here's the thing. When you're not strong enough to break the chains of what binds you, Jesus has the ability to break those patterns because Jesus is stronger. Jesus can. In fact, let's just go back and remember what Jesus has done. Jesus came to a man who was chained to something medically. He had leprosy. And leprosy was something that you did not recover from. You know, it was like, you know, AIDS or something like that today, you know? It's one of those things. He could not break himself from it. He had leprosy. And Jesus comes into his life, and Jesus not only heals him, but he restores him, and he broke the chains of what seemed unbreakable in his own life. And then Jesus came to a lot of people who were chained physically. Like, they had no ability. There was a guy who was born blind from birth, unable to see his whole life. There was another person who was paralyzed for 38 years. There are people all throughout the Bible who had so many things going on in their life. And Jesus came, when Jesus intersected what was binding them and their own life, Jesus freed them from what was holding them back. And Jesus healed those people. And then we look at, remember the time when Jesus' his disciples were on a boat? They were on a boat, and they were without Jesus at that point. And, two different stories. One time, Jesus is on the boat, and all of a sudden, the waves start crashing. A storm starts going, and the disciples realized in that moment that they were chained by their own fear. Like, we're going to die. Something's going to happen. What if this happens? And what if I don't see my kids again? And what if this is the last meal we ever, you know, what if, what if, what if? They're chained to the things that they were afraid of. And in that moment, Jesus wakes up, and he calms the storm, and he breaks the chains of what was their fear, and he rightly centers their fear on the power of God. But the greatest thing is that when you and I were unable to break the chains of sin and death, we just sang about it. When we were unable to break these chains, something that we could never overcome because everybody sins and everybody dies, Jesus, God loved the world so much that he sent his one and his only son. And Jesus came into the world and he loved us so completely. And he died on the cross and he rose from the grave on Easter so that instead of us just going on and on in our life in the same pattern, Jesus came to throw down the stone and he's raised from the grave and he conquers death once and for all through the power of God. And it's one of those things where now death and sin don't get the final word, right? You may go to a funeral, but it's not the end of the story. Because there's resurrection power that's available to everyone who believes. When you're not strong enough, Jesus can. And so here's what I want you to remember, is that Jesus inside of you is stronger than any chains that bind you. Jesus inside of you is stronger than any chains that bind you. And so connect your willpower to the power of Jesus, right? And Jesus will empower you because Jesus is stronger than anything that holds you back, anything you're chained to. I'm going to give you one more thing, but before I tell you the third step, I want to illustrate it with a Saturday Night Live clip, a great one, where there's this woman who goes to see a counselor, and she's talking about patterns in her life that have held her back, and it's kind of funny. She says, he says, well, what's the problem? And she said, well, I have this fear all the time of being buried alive in a box. It's like, okay, you know, what do you say to that? Being buried alive in a box. And here's how the clip continues.
About it does make my life horrible. I mean, I can't go through tunnels or be in an elevator or in a house, anything boxy.
So what you're saying is you're claustrophobic.
Yes, that's it.
All right, well, let's go, Catherine. I'm going to say two words to you right now. I want you to listen to them very, very carefully. Then I want you to take them out of the office with you and incorporate them into your life.
Well, shall I write them down?
Well, if it makes you comfortable, it's just two words. We find most people can remember them.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay, here they are.
Stop it!
I'm sorry?
Stop it!
Stop it?
Yes. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, what are you saying?
You know, it's funny. I say two simple words, and I cannot tell you the amount of people who say exactly the same thing you're saying. I mean, this is not Yiddish, Catherine. This is English. Stop it.
So, I should just stop it.
There you go. I mean, you don't want to go through life being scared of being buried alive in a box, do you? I mean, that sounds frightening.
It is.
Then stop it.
I can't. I mean, it's been with me since childhood.
No, we don't go there. Just stop it.
Hey, I think that's maybe the worst advice any counselor ever gave, right? Just stop it, right? Here's the third thing, and this is kind of different, right? This is spiritual principle. Here's number three. Don't just stop it. Replace it with a new pattern. Don't just stop it. Replace it with a new pattern. Here's what Ephesians chapter 4 says. It's interesting. It's a spiritual principle. It says, you were taught with regard to your former life to put off your old self. That's the stop it part. Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23, it says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self. That's the new pattern. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's so many cycles in our lives and so many bad things that you can't just remove it and stop it, and all of a sudden it's just gonna go away, right? There's so many things that it's a spiritual principle that as you stop doing something, right, as you try to stop a pattern, you have to replace it with a new pattern, right? It's one of those things where as you turn away from something, you also have to turn to something else, or else you'll end up chained to the same thing you're trying to break from. And so let's say your pattern, you got a pattern just being critical all the time. Well, replace that pattern by trying to overly affirm things that you see and people and celebrate things that are going on well. Maybe it's a broken relationship cycle that you wanted to break. Instead of just saying, oh, I'm not going to have bad relationships. No, just surround yourself, new pattern, with people who have healthy relationships. You replace the pattern. You don't just stop it. You replace it with a new pattern. And so here's the question as we close up this morning. What pattern do you want to break? What pattern or cycle do you want to stop? What is that? And here's the second question. What new pattern will you replace it with the power of God? What new pattern will you replace it with? As we come to the close of this series, let me just remind us all that we all need Jesus. We all need Jesus. And if you want to build a legacy that matters, we need God's help working in our lives and empowering us to do so. And no matter what you've inherited, no matter what you've had to overcome, and no matter how far you feel like you are from the person and the legacy that you want to be living, the good news is that it's never too late to get started. It's never too late to start walking in a new pattern because grace is always available to us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the way that you love us, for the way you pour into our lives. And I thank you, God, that you care not only about the good things in our lives and the polished things in our lives, but God, you love us so much that the sins or the chains or the things in our life that maybe other people don't even know about us, that you know about, God, those things don't hinder us from your grace and your love. But God, you love us enough that you don't want to leave us chained to the same things that we've always been chained to, that you want to set us free. You want to break the chains of sin and death. You want to break the addictions. You want to break the things and the cycles that we don't want to be our legacy. And so, Jesus, I pray that as we come to you today, as we come to the altar today, that you would help us to realize that your grace is always available. And grace doesn't just leave us where we are, but your grace invites us to change our story through the power of God. And so, God, whatever those things are in our lives, I pray that you would give us the power to walk forward. But you would also, God, give us the confidence to know and to trust that you're with us, to depend on your strength, to work in and through us. God, we thank you and we pray that you would build a legacy in our families, that regardless of who we are and what we've done in the past, that you would just keep building something that's so much bigger than our biggest failures. Because Jesus, you're stronger and you're greater. We ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.